This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's
come aboard. Happy Tuesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour lunar eclipse limbo. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Motown to Mobile, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. Hey, you're on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
We are excited to announce this hour. It's the first of the first four out. The 12 D.A.s of Christmas are here.
I got a candidate for the 12 D.A.s, okay?
Coming up in just 20 minutes. We have for you,
ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho. The most wonderful time of the year.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
In 20 minutes, we have for you, power, power. A disgruntled Mraz over the oink rankings, gradings, and singings. That's in 20 minutes. In 40 minutes, Rick Neuheisel's going to join us for the CBS Sports Network, college football insider, analyst, former coach himself. We'll talk about this weekend's college football championship games. First, though, let's talk to Deshaun Watson, because for the Houston Texans, the Deshaun Watson era is officially over. He is a member of a new team and will finally play a first game with that new team coming up this weekend. And it just so happens it's against that former club. The Texans will host the Cleveland Browns coming up on Sunday, which is Deshaun Watson's first game in 2 years, but also Deshaun Watson's revenge game, whatever that is. He has yet to speak to reporters. And they're expecting him to talk today because starting quarterbacks are required to speak to the media once a week, and he has yet to do so. If I'm Deshaun Watson and I'm the Cleveland Browns, obviously I've had plenty of time to get ready for whatever the media is going to throw at you this weekend. And whatever the fans are going to sound like in Houston, where you fought your way out and refused to play, and potentially your accusers will be in the stands. Obviously, this is not the ideal time, moment, game to return from what Deshaun Watson's returning from. So this has more built into it than your average comeback game. It has more built into it than your average week 13 in the NFL. And I think that for the Browns, you've had time, if you're Deshaun Watson, you've had time to get ready for this. So we should not see Deshaun Watson at the podium today acting surprised. We should not see him act defensive. We should not see Kevin Stefanski annoyed, on the defensive, aggravated, because they know what is coming. And if you can just have some longer view, if you're the Browns, it's the worst this week, and it'll only get better. We all know how this works. For better or worse, short attention span theater in America these days, we're on to the next thing within seconds, within a blink of an eye. And so Deshaun's going to come out and play this weekend in Houston. That'll be a story. Coming back, should he play this year at all? That's a story. Accusers in the stands, that's the story, a story. But once we get to Tuesday of next week, it's on to the next. So what the Browns should not be doing, and what Deshaun Watson should not be doing, is hiding right now. Don't avoid, don't hide, take the podium, answer the questions, and know this is the worst of it. Look, the Browns are out of it anyway. Doesn't matter what Deshaun Watson looks like the rest of the year. They're not rattling off 6 straight wins to end the season, to get to 10-7 and make the playoffs. And that looks like what is going to be the bare minimum to make the AFC postseason. Don't expect that. Expect at very best this final month and a half to be Watson gets back into game shape. He hasn't played in 2 years. So he gets back into the rhythm of the game. He gets back playing at this speed, not a preseason speed, not an offseason speed. He gets into the rhythm and the speed of the game. He grows a familiarity with game situations, with this coaching staff, with these teammates. And you're basically hoping this is a run-up for 2023 where you can then again compete for the playoffs. That's what this is. And treat it as nothing more. This is your 6-week run-up for 2023. But don't hide. Don't hide from this, because you got to own this. You didn't get suspended for a full 17-game season. There are that many accusations. There were that many lawsuits to settle. And if you're the Browns, you made your bed. You embraced this. You went down this path. Don't hide him. Don't avoid. Address this today. Don't let it happen for another day. When's he going to talk? Is he going to talk? Because then it forces his teammates also to have to answer questions about Deshaun Watson, which is not their job either. Don't hide him. Make him talk today. Don't cut the interview short or the press conference short. Make him answer every question. You know the talking points. And then you get to Sunday. And once the final gun happens on Sunday, you then can turn the page. You'll do the post-game press conferences. You'll have that experience behind you. And then it becomes football again. But this week is not about football entirely. It's about a lot of things. So deal with it. I'm telling you, the Sunday night game, Colts-Cowboys, where the Cowboys are an 11-point favorite, and they should be a bigger favorite than that, I think. They're at home. I think this is a 13-17-point win by the Cowboys.
Little look ahead to the Wizard of Oz here?
Maybe. But for the Sunday night highlighted game of the week, think about all the other games you'd rather watch in isolation. Maybe it's Browns-Texans because, again, of all the things I just mentioned. But otherwise, Titans-Eagles, great game. Dolphins-49ers, amazing matchup. Chiefs-Bengals, awesome game. Jets-Vikings, phenomenal storyline. Giants-Commanders, could be a playoff elimination game. And so we get the Colts and Jeff Saturday. And, you know, I know this happens all the time, but isn't it weird to see a skinny Jeff Saturday?
I'm so used to it, I guess, because he was on TV. I think it would be more jarring if he really came out of nowhere. But to that point, yeah.
Retired offensive lineman that slender down Schlereth by like 150 pounds is always very jarring to me.
Yeah, I agree. And then, you know, I kind of wish I was them. I figured out how to do it.
Well, what do you think that has to do with?
Well,
because you would think when you're working out more, you're so active like these offensive linemen are, that's when you would be skinny. And then once you become sedentary and stop being so active, you start eating your way into 300 pounds. Why is it the opposite?
But I think that it's a reverse psychology thing. I think they eat so many calories to keep up their weight as offensive linemen that it's kind of like me when I look at a Subway sandwich. You've done it for so long, I don't want to do it anymore. So when you get out of there, maybe the idea of eating 6,000 calories a day actually disgusts them. Like it actually has pushed them to the limits because they needed to do that for work.
It's not weird.
It wasn't a pleasure of eating.
It's very weird to see old wide receivers fat and old offensive linemen skinny.
Because they're doing the inverse of what they had to do. You don't want to do what you need to do for your job when you retire. And part of that for offensive linemen is eating a lot.
So is it possible we would be doing you a favor if we said, Mraz, you've got to keep up 300 pounds. To be on this show, to be roly-poly sidekick, you've got to keep up 300 pounds. Eat all the time. And then the moment you no longer have this job, we're like, you know what? No pressure on you anymore. And that's when you're like, oh, thank God, I don't want to eat anymore.
Okay, so I have a two-part retort to that. Number one, roly-poly didn't dawn on me. Feels kind of offensive.
Okay, I was trying to avoid the F word.
Number two, you almost said it. Number two, I think you're right. I mean, look, nothing else has worked. So I think certainly if you told me I had to do that and then finally I was able to. But the problem is then when am I retiring, you know, to finally stop doing that?
All right. So let's make this a little healthier. Let's say you're at 250 something right now.
No, I'm not. No, I'm in the 260s.
Okay.
I had gotten back up to 280. I lost that.
You were 280, huh?
I'd climbed back up. Luckily, I'm on a good downward trend again, later, right. But I'm not my lowest.
So say you're 265.
Right.
Let's say we go, Mraz, you got to keep yourself at 285. You got to keep yourself. If you drop below 285, you're not allowed on the show. You got to stay home. Now, you've got to keep up your weight. You've got to
certainly embrace it early.
At first, it'd be the best thing ever to happen to you. Oh, my God, I have to eat this Wendy's. I need another Baconator. Honey, we need more fried foods in the house.
Friendly's Reese's Pieces Sunday with that soft peanut butter
sauce. We need
you
to have two of those Sundays every single dinner.
Oh.
Okay? Got to keep this up. 285 or more. 285 or more. But then we go, all right, 1 year from now, let's just say January 1, 2024, it's over. You don't have to do that anymore. You do whatever you want. I wonder if at that point you'd be like, oh, God, I'm sick of these Sundays. You know what? I'm sick of carrying this weight. I never felt good about it. I really don't have any interest. I wonder if that would work for you.
Well, again, I say if nothing else has worked,
maybe.
How am I to say a different approach would not work?
Maybe.
You know, because it's very easy to say something I've tried. Well, you've tried that before. Why would it work? Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Maybe I can become Jeff Saturday.
All these guys, it's so weird. Baselli is skinny. Schlereth is skinny.
I think David Deal got very thin, too.
Sean O'Hara, David Deal.
Sean O'Hara's a good one.
And who was the Steelers offensive lineman that went to the Hall of Fame?
Alan Faneca.
Faneca's running marathons.
Yeah, he looks like a guy who would skateboard at the local park.
Yeah, really? It's wild.
You're right. There's a path.
There's a path. Lee is in California this morning here on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Lee.
Hey, Lee. Hey, how's it going, man?
Hey, I'm DA. You're Lee. I'm good. How you doing?
Good. I have a question about, I got a little bit of Chargers history that I went to a game and the championship game between the Patriots and the Chargers.
Okay, was that one in New England?
No, it was in San Diego.
Mm. AFC championship game or just a playoff game?
I thought it was a championship game, but it was a playoff. I'm wondering if you remember this play where Tom Brady threw the ball and Marlon McCree intercepted it.
I sure do.
And fumbled the ball on the same play.
I sure do. If I'm not mistaken, that's the 05 season. Oh, 06. And that's where the Chargers were the one seed. They were 14 and 2.
Marty Schottenheimer.
Yep. Breeze and LaDainian Tomlinson was amazing. And that was the Chargers' first playoff game that year because they were the one seed. They had the bye. The Patriots went to San Diego, and the game was over if McCree just goes down after the interception, instead tries to run it. I think
yes,
it was
he fumbled.
Troy Brown punches it away or something like that, recovered by the Patriots. Patriots go down and score and ultimately beat the Chargers, and that's how that season ended.
I want to let you know how heartbreaking that was for me. I went from, we're going to win the game, oh my God, we're going to lose the game.
Yeah, I would imagine. That's a kill. And after a great season as well.
Yeah, I had 20 years of Chargers season tickets. And
oh, so you saw the heart. You saw the heartbreak of the.
Me, right, bro?
Yeah, you saw the heartbreak of the Air Coryell Dan Fouts years.
Oh, God.
And then you saw the heartbreak of the 90s under Bobby Ross, et cetera. And now you saw the heartbreak of Marty Schottenheimer. You had been used to the Chargers ripping your heart out and stomping on it.
What is the deal with this town?
Yeah, I know. You guys have been through some emotional times. Lee in California, remembering the 2005 AFC Divisional Round.
So Lee is not called on one Monday to react to any game recently, but just wanted to check in today on a game from 17 years ago.
Well, maybe he's checked out of the Chargers. They're no longer in San Diego.
So do you think he's just rewatching old Charger seasons and just got back to that game?
Yeah. He's up to the 05 season, 06. Don't worry, Lee. It doesn't get any better as you rewatch all of the Chargers. Just keep watching 94 over again and over. Marion Butts. When we come back here on the show, the 12 DAs of Christmas, the first of the first four out. Power. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. The 12 DAs of Christmas to all, and to all, a good night.
Somebody screwed me here!
Who can trust you?
Somebody screwed me! I look like a fool now! I don't want to look like a fool!
Me neither.
He hit it higher than the kids on HBO's Euphoria!
What evidence do you have that you have the stick handling, skating ability, balance, speed, or agility of Pavel Bure? What evidence?
I don't have evidence.
Okay.
Why are we not focused on that instead what power sounds like? Why am I doing this? Why am I typing a script like this?
I don't like that he's quiet. You and I could describe the pain the last time. He can't even bring himself to talk right now.
He just keeps saying it's hot. May the 14th. It's the first of the first four out. Mraz does Canadian bacon, and the oink grading is tough yet again. Here it is, the first of the 12 DAs of Christmas.
That call courtesy of the Lightning Radio Network. Yes, the Lightning special teams were a major story
They've got the power, power. Dun, 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 dun. They got the power, power. Ross Geller Colton scored the fourth goal of the night, and Tampa Bay wins 4-1 to take a 1-0 series lead.
I know that one.
Why did you sing the echo?
That was a bad choice,
Aaron
too.
Carter or Justin Timberlake. I understand what I am. What I am is a Frito-eating fat slob from Long Island. What I'm not is a pop sensation. Me singing, you're going to get Frito slob from Long Island singing power. And you like it or you take it. Don't grade me down because, well, I didn't understand the song. I mean, come on. They got the power. Power.
I mean, that's not the same song. It's not even close. The only insult is you insulting Snap.
It is close.
If any of them are still around, they're pissed this morning.
I am not Snap. I have never been talented enough to be in Snap.
Pop, nothing.
I'm Canadian bacon. I'm the oink guy.
Oh, Pete's the oink guy.
That's right.
Give me a damn full oink.
How can you defend saying in the middle of a script of highlights... being the guy that delivers the news on the hockey highlights. What night is tonight? What's tomorrow?
I agree. That's why it wasn't a five-oinker. That was not a five-oinker because I screwed that up. You think I'm not punishing myself because I screwed that up? But the writing was good other than that. I just misread it. I'm not asking for five freaking oinks here. Well, what I'm asking for is a little bit of respect on some of the actual writing I got right.
Okay.
All right. Well, what do you score that yourself?
He scored it at 4.
I think that was a 4-oinker because I think the jokes were great. I think I packed a lot in there, and I think you guys overemphasize the negative and don't uplift the positive. I mean, geez, D.A., you even admitted you missed the Duclair. Anthony Duclair to 1-0 lead.
I missed that.
You miss it. Why are we not focused on that instead? What power sounds like? Why am I doing this? If it's going to come down to one stupid song or one stupid joke, why even do the little details? Why am I typing a script like this?
Power,
why am I doing
power.
This in the morning? Why? I might as well just pick a song and go, you know what? Either they're going to like the song or they're not. And that's how many freaking likes I'm going to get.
Power.
You totally missed the other good stuff. It's you're a class half-empty jerk. Dun, 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 dun. Sitting there all day. Mother-in-law's over. Won't talk to her. Won't talk to my wife because I need my voice for Canadian Big. I got to sing, honey. Then I sing. That sounds nothing like it. Yeah, no crap. I'm not in sync. They've got the power.
Freaking losers.
The first of the first four out, if this is any indication, this is going to be an amazing 12 DAs. This typified the insanity to which Mraz drove himself into and Pete helped guide him into based on the oinks of Canadian bacon. Mraz doing the hockey playoff highlights and having to wait on the grade of Pete was just so torturous for Mraz. And some of the quotes are just really gold. Number one, why am I even doing this? As though there's a question about the meaning of life in all of this. Trying to earn oinks as a grade. What I'm not is a pop sensation. That's a great quote from Mraz as well. Quote... I think the jokes were great. Were they? Were they? Mraz yelping, give me a damn full oink. Give me a damn oink. And Bogus's incredible retort. I don't know if any of Snap is still around, but if they are, they're pissed. Snap saying, power, power. That was the perfect encapsulation of the insanity of Canadian bacon.
It was, and you could hear there were a lot of late nights and beers drank for a Ranger deep run. The Rangers had played every other night, and I was watching all the hockey playoff games, and I was into it, watching my own team play. And by then, mid-May, my voice is deteriorating. I'm on no sleep, and I feel like I'm pouring my heart and soul into this, and I was so aggravated with you guys were never consistent on what you wanted for a good oink. I would put my focus in on something else. You'd kill me for the song. That was a really dark period this year. When I look back on this year in the DA show, it felt fun in the moment, but looking back, it was really dark and strenuous.
It was torturous for you, but it was great entertainment for all of us. And you can't tell the story of this year without the heightened craze of the grading of Canadian bacon. In fact, you could argue top five most important things that happened this year was...
how pressurized and how ratcheted up every Canadian bacon's grading became.
And it just kept getting more and more where, all right, we started it, and then every week I was looking forward to it more and more to see what would happen. It became a great soap opera. Enter Pat Boyle. When Bilotti asked me to fill in the one time and do Canadian bacon, I was nervous. I wanted to do a good job. But I also knew, I felt like Shawn Michaels retiring Ric Flair. Because when they played the music and the joiner, I shuffle my papers, and he's over there going, "You got to be kidding me." I felt like I betrayed him, and that's what made it so much sweeter.
It had all of the trimmings of a great radio bit, because it was insanity. Well, it was absurdity that became way too important.
Right.
It was so utterly unimportant, but became so important. And listeners, that deserves 5 oinks. You guys are screwing Mraz. No, Mraz is mailing it in. He didn't sing that song well. That's 3.5 oinks. Bilotti's pulling the puppeteer strings behind the scenes.
He never felt more important. Shocking. Never a day off then.
Getting in your head. I mean, he was screwing you. And then Pat Boyle comes in as the knight in shining armor to deliver the first ever perfect Canadian bacon.
While I was out, which was purposely needling me while I was off, there was a lot of politicking that went on. And honestly, you look back at pretty much May. Let's call it May. Nothing we did on the show for 4 hours mattered except for Canadian bacon to the audience. Like, that was everybody. Doesn't matter. Just let me know when Canadian bacon is and what are the oinks going to be.
There was one point when I was doing the show from the home studios during this run, and I had built up the Canadian bacon, the history of the recent efforts in grading, and that you were coming up here, and could you finally attain the what do we call it?
It became impossible, but
yeah,
not the unattainable something.
The
mythological, mythical?
The mythical 5 oinks.
Yes.
The mythical 5 oinks. And at one point, we went to commercial break, and the Bourbon Belle poked her head in the studio and said, "You got to turn down the pressure on this. This is getting too much." Because we had built it into such a gargantuan moment of, could you deliver? What will be the grading? And it was so intense, and that it just, how could it keep up? Because it just kept getting more and more intense, and then you finally psychotically broke.
I did. Boy, I really feel like I'm in a better mental place when I'm not doing Canadian
bacon. You sound like a different person.
I am.
So much more subdued.
I'm at peace right now.
The first of the first 4 out of the 12 DAs of Christmas. Power. All of the 12 DAs will be available on YouTube and in podcast form. So you can always relive all of them as the countdown begins today. Greg Caserta is in for Andrew Bogus today and has our headlines. Mr. Caserta.
Dia, I know we have a quick out here, so do we want to do Stunned right now and wrap up with it, or are we going, we want to push it back to the next hour?
Good point. Let's do Stunned then next hour.
All right.
Yeah.
Stunned next hour. All right.
Well, we have a guest in studio. Just remember that.
Yes, but we can still do Stunned. We'll work next hour's clock a little bit easier.
Okay.
Yeah.
The college football playoff will be expanding from 4 teams to 12 starting in 2024. That means we'll get another decade of Notre Dame getting in and blown out in their first game. The latest breakthrough came last night after the Rose Bowl finally jumped aboard and agreed to adjust the final 2 years of their contract. After next season, the 6th highest-ranked champs get automatic qualifiers. The next 6 get at-large bids. Buys goes to the top 4 conference champions, and the first round is hosted by the higher seed, so that's also a boost for some schools because you'll get an extra home game. The Big 4 this weekend are the unbeatens at the top, Georgia, Michigan, TCU, and USC. They're the only 11-1 team. They'll get a chance at redemption when they face Utah tomorrow night in Las Vegas for the Pac-12 championship. That was USC's only loss this season, and they are trying to become the 3rd school to get into the playoffs, joining Oregon and Washington. The Pac-12 has not been represented in the playoff in the last 5 years. We've ripped on Aaron Rodgers plenty, but yesterday he offered this answer when asked about the rest of the season for the 4-8 Packers.
I'd love to finish the season out, and but I understand, you know, this is a business, and you know, there's a lot of us kind of older guys who, you know, play a decent amount, who they might want to see some younger guys play. So, you know, hopefully we don't have to have that conversation. But if that conversation comes up, you know, I'll approach that with an open mind and you know, without any bitterness or resentment. You know, obviously, like I said, I want to win out, and we don't have to have those conversations. But, you know, I understand if we don't, that that's a possibility to have that conversation.
Changed his tune from, I will only play as long as we're not mathematically eliminated.
But isn't that the best he's come across in 3 years?
Yes, that is. Although I will remind the listener, I thought that, remind everybody, I thought that Ian Rappaport made a good point yesterday. They could play Jordan Love these final couple of games, and we're making it into a big thing. But it doesn't really matter because Aaron Rodgers is under contract for next season. Mm-hmm. And there's, I still think, $59 million guaranteed coming to him. So as long as Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to punt on $59 million, he's coming back to be the quarterback next year, whether Jordan Love looks great or not. So is it important to see Jordan Love the final month of the season if he can't be the starting quarterback next year?
But if you're the Packers, why the heck do you trust Aaron Rodgers not pouting his way out in January and wanting out and becoming a distraction, and then you don't know about Jordan Love?
Okay, so that's an argument, but you're saying that you want to see Jordan Love because Aaron Rodgers might force a trade.
Well, yeah, I think Aaron Rodgers' erratic behavior tells me that if we are eliminated and he's banged up, I could play it either way. I could tell Rodgers we're shutting you down because we really want you healthy for next year. And or internally knowing we can't trust this guy. So let's know what we have
but
in Jordan
can't
Love.
Trust him for what?
He's a rat. Like his.
I know, but what's worst case scenario?
That he goes, the contract basically is get outable after this year. I don't want to be here anymore. You guys didn't give me the receivers. I mean, the guy changes his mindset week to week. And
I'm
then,
not saying he doesn't, but what is the worst case scenario?
The worst case scenario is he doesn't want to play them for them next
you
year.
You don't play Jordan Love the rest of the year.
Right.
And you go to the offseason and Rodgers says, trade me.
Yes. You know what? I didn't like the way things went this year. You guys didn't support me with receivers. I want out. And really, I've done everything I want.
Because I don't think he's punting on $60 million.
No,
I don't think he's retiring.
No, but I could see him really doing again, trying to force his way out. Now, I'm not saying that's the most likely scenario, but it's something I think the Packers have to consider.
Yeah, that would be, yes. That would be the thing that they would need to see Jordan Love for, if possible.
And then one last thing, and I saw this tweet yesterday from Field Yates. Rams that are out / expected out for Sunday's game against the Seahawks.
Here comes the brigade of defending Sean McVay. Here comes all the McVay foot soldiers.
Matthew Stafford, $40 million a year. Aaron Donald, $31.6 million a year. Cooper Kupp, $26.7 million. Allen Robinson, $15.5 million. Left tackle Joseph Noteboom, $13.3 million. And defensive tackle Ashawn Robinson, $8.5 million.
So their entire salary cap is out for Sunday's game.
And then my joke was, that's how you build a culture. That's a winning program right there. It's watching them descend like this has been such a treat.
It's enjoyable, isn't it? Yeah. When we come back here on the show, Rick Neuheisel's going to join us. We'll talk some college football with him. DA, CBS Sports Radio. I didn't mean to upset you.
I'm not upset. I'm very happy. So thank you very much for your time, Dana.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Remember the Art Garfunkel interview to hell? 40 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio this season for the first time. Hear every Westwood One NFL broadcast streamed live for free. Mondays, Thursdays like tonight, Sunday nights, holiday triple headers, every playoff game. All of the action is on the Odyssey app. WestwoodOneSports.com, Westwood One Station streams, or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. Sponsored by AutoZone, the free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help troubleshoot the likely cause of your pesky check engine light for free. Get you back on the road. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Championship weekend in college football, and joining us has been a regular contributor all season long to the show, and we really appreciate it. He does excellent work for CBS Sports and CBS Sports Network, breaking down college football. Also, you could hear him every day, weekdays on Sirius XM. Joining us this morning on the show is Coach Rick Neuheisel. Rick, good morning.
How are you today?
You're doing
ready
great.
For championship weekend?
We are ready for championship weekend, and I can't wait to break down some of these games with you. But the first thing I wanted to ask you is about Colorado, because Deion Sanders has been mentioned for that job, and the Colorado gig is an interesting one, one that you began your head coaching career with back in the mid to late 90s. What are the challenges at Colorado that Deion or anybody else would walk into and trying to build that back to a championship caliber program, which it was when you guys were there.
Well, Bill McCartney built it into a championship program. Eddie Crowder years and years ago did a great job there, and there's been some really good coaches at Colorado, but Bill McCartney took it to a level where it won a national championship, or at least shared one with Georgia Tech back in 1990. And I inherited it from Bill when he stepped away in 94. So I became the head coach there in 95, and we won 20 games in our first 2 years. I mean, it's a great location. It's magical city. Right up against the Rocky Mountains. You can't ask for a more picturesque place. The challenges at Colorado, though, are in recruiting, because the state of Colorado is probably going to produce somewhere between 5 and 10 guys that can play at the Division I level. So you have to go to Texas, and you have to go to California. And because there isn't a conference that houses both, you have to kind of really do a good job of selling and getting moms and dads to come see the romantic setting that is, Boulder, and get them to come and be a part of the program. McCartney did that. I thought our staff did a nice job of doing that, and Gary Barnett at the beginning of his tenure did that as well. But that's been the problem. You haven't been able to service it. And then with name, image, and likeness, we saw a number of guys leave Carl Durrell's program to go and, get their big paydays someplace else. Brennan Rice, Jerry Rice's son, is at USC. There was a running back that left for Michigan State to follow his old coach, Mel Tucker, who, of course, was at Boulder for a year. So there's some issues, but it's doable. It just needs somebody to roll up their sleeves and get it done.
Mm. In terms of Dion's kind of magnetic personality and what he's done at Jackson State, do you foresee him having the same type of success at a Power 5 job if he so chooses?
There's no question. Having been with Dion in his last year in pro football when he was with the Ravens, and I was on that staff, there's no question that Dion has the persona and the cachet, if you will, to go into homes and talk kids into doing that, into coming and being a part of whatever he is. He did it with Travis Hunter, who was one of the top players in the country, and got him to come to a historically black college there at Jackson State. So this is doable. The question is, does Dion want to go to Colorado, or is he waiting for, a more, in the spotlight program, like one that might be in the SEC? I thought Georgia Tech might go his way because of his familiarity with Atlanta and his cachet in Atlanta. We'll wait and see. What I don't like, though, is that he kind of put Colorado out there as, a program he's considering. But yeah, he didn't need to do that. His cachet and his persona is such that he doesn't need to, verify it, stamp it with an authentication deal by showing that he's been offered the job. That, to me, is unfair to Colorado, because if he doesn't go, it looks as if Colorado's getting second choice.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Rick Neuheisel joins us ahead of the championship weekend in college football. In the Pac-12, Utah tries to do it again against USC. Do you think that these two teams are different today than they were when they matched up last time?
Well, the only question for me with Utah is their health. Cam Rising missed a couple games, or at least missed one game after this heroic performance against the Trojans, where he threw for over 400, ran for 60, was the guy who ran for the two-point conversion to win the game. To me, that's the issue. And Dalton Kincaid in that game against the Trojans that they won 43-42, had 16 catches for 234 yards. You don't hear often tight ends having that kind of productivity. So to me, hard to replicate that performance against the Trojans. And given that the Trojans are coming in hot, and I mean Texas chili hot, they are they're going to be tough to beat in Las Vegas.
Do you agree that all of the top four besides USC can afford a loss and they would still be in the college football playoff?
I think that would be fair, but fair is where you give a blue ribbon to a pig. I'm not positive that that's the case with TCU. I think if Baylor, Baylor was ahead 28-10 the last time they played TCU. If Baylor won the game in Arlington 28-10, I don't believe that TCU still gets in. Not with an Ohio State looming. And if we're SC were to lose the night before, it might even include Alabama. If it were a TCU versus Alabama, I think TCU probably still gets in. To me, anything that's short of a one-score game makes it a little nervous for Frog fans.
Rick Neuheisel is our guest from CBS Sports Network, CBS Sports, and SiriusXM, breaking down this weekend's college football championship weekend. There were a lot of observers that were hesitant to crown TCU as a great team because even though they beat ranked teams, they got by on the skin of their teeth. Did you also have that same hesitancy when they were winning close games?
Well, you look at the line this week, and I know lines aren't supposed to mean anything, but if you're less than a field goal favorite, then the margin that what people are thinking is your team's pretty much comparable to everybody. Certainly, we give you all sorts of credit for wins, but in terms of picking the best four teams, that's going to resonate in that room if they're getting by with the skin of their teeth. No harm, no foul if they're unblemished, but if they take a defeat and it's by more than one score, I think that it's nervous time, as I said, for everybody pulling for the purple.
How do you figure that Michigan was the nail in the hammer-nail relationship in that Ohio State rivalry for so long, and then the last 2 years have blown the doors off the Buckeyes?
Yeah, it's strange. I think when we really look back at it, you see uniforms run out there and you just assume that they're really, really talented because the way we look at Ohio State historically and, the run that they've been on. I just don't think that they're that talented on defense. The back end of that secondary, and you look at the NFL, they're littered with Buckeye, defensive backs. This back end, I'm not sure how many guys are going to be playing in the NFL. To see that many missed tackles, to see that many, opportunities to get somebody down and to see Michigan receivers running. I mean, literally, it looked like they were the only guy on the field when they cut to the highlights. That, to me, is a deficiency that was exploited. Jim Knowles got a lot of credit for being the defensive coordinator when he came there. He had to go to what we call zero coverage to stop that run, meaning there was no safety. Well, the no safety thing didn't work out for him. So, for Michigan to have their longest four plays of the season against an Ohio State team tells you that they were trying to patch things up because deficiency from a skill standpoint on that Buckeye defense.
It's a great stat. Do you think that is recruiting or coaching?
Oh, it's recruiting. Jim Knowles is too good a coach to sit here and blame him. People are going to question, how are you playing with no safety when they're 75 yards behind you? That to me is a little bit nerve-wracking. Normally you wait and play with no safety when you're gambling down inside your red zone. But you do what you have to do to stop people. And with Michigan coming into that game having run for over 400 yards against Penn State, who turned out to be a 10-win team, you've got to stop what they do, which is run the ball. And they gave up some big plays, and then obviously the dam broke in that fourth quarter. But it's going to come down to recruiting, and don't be surprised if Ohio State doesn't get into that transfer portal to find some able bodies now in that back end for next year.
Good point. We've been talking a lot about the Rose Bowl this week because they were potentially the only hurdle to expand to the playoff within 2 years. Looks like that thing has been tied up, and so we've got that. And I wanted to ask you, you coached that Rose Bowl game in 2000 with the Washington Huskies. What is it like to be part of that granddaddy of them all tradition and be there as the sun sets over the San Gabriel Mountains and be the thing that everybody's watching at that moment?
Well, you're talking to the wrong guy if you want an unbiased opinion. Because
I want a biased one.
This is totally biased. It's the grail. It is college football's nirvana. There is nothing better than being in the Rose Bowl, the granddaddy of them all, seeing the historical significance of it, going back as far as it's gone back and the names that are on the stadium as the players of the game and so forth. And to be included in that is like, I can't wait to show my friends when we go there. I actually am on this wall, right? it is an incredible, incredible experience to be a part of that. And I have always, always revered the game as the best. And what's really fun And this is how I verify that my feeling about the Rose Bowl and calling it college football's version of heaven is when you bring somebody who's never been. I was at the national championship game between Florida State and Auburn back in 2013. And watching those two fan bases from all across the country, right, coming into that place and seeing that venue with the sun going down over the San Gabriels, as you said, they were like, okay, this is it. I have stamped my flag. This is heaven. And if Kevin Costner can say, no, it's Iowa, I just looked at him and said, no, it's the Rose Bowl.
Rick Neuheisel, you can hear him daily on SiriusXM, chopping up college football, does an awesome job. That show is a must-listen for me as I drive home every day. Also, you can watch him on CBS Sports and CBS Sports Network, of course, as they get ready for a big weekend in college football and championship weekend as well. Inside College Football Tuesday, CBS Sports Network, and the SEC Championship game Saturday on CBS. Coach, always good to catch up, man. Thanks so much.
Doesn't that just roll off the tongue when you say on CBS?
On CBS. I mean, you feel like you're Vern Lundquist or Brent Musburger when you say that.
Hello, friend. Hello. That's exactly right.
Thanks, Coach.
See you now.
Rick Neuheisel joining us this morning on the show. Of course, the SEC on CBS has Georgia-LSU, the SEC championship game, coming up at 4 o'clock Eastern time on Saturday. Georgia, a huge favorite, 17.5-point favorite, which is funny because if you flip the script, it used to be that the West was the 17-point favorite over the East in the SEC championship game when Alabama or Auburn or LSU would play whoever came out of the East. And today, this year, it's going to be flipped. You know, look, LSU is good, but Georgia's great. And I would have had more hope for it being a good game had LSU not completely wet the bed last weekend in College Station. But the way that LSU played that game doesn't mean they can't play well in this game. But I got a tough time believing they're elite enough to rise to the occasion of what it'll take to beat Georgia if you got steamrolled by an A&M team that's a non-bowl team. So I have little faith that this is a good game. I hope I'm wrong. But I've got little faith that that's much of a competitive game. When we come back here on the show, Kyler Murray, selfish? One former teammate says so. We've got that next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.